Everyone knows the apron is the hardest part of the ring, but this is the nerdiest part of the ring. Your weekly news roundup for the wide world of professional wrestling. I am your host. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray. And joining me at this time is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Dalton.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked out of a mall into a huge parking area and realized you forgot where you parked your car?
Yes.
That's weird. How are you doing tonight?
No, you're doing something and I don't like it. What is this?
I was just asking a question. It's a conversation starter.
Okay.
And now you're being weird about it.
Okay. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's fine.
Okay, fair enough. Are you going to talk?
So how are you doing? Yeah, I asked you a question and you just blew past it.
Well, it's because I was more worried about the weird question you started with. I'm used to the Big D, Dalton Anthony. Yo, how you doing tonight, Dalton? Good. And then I'd talk on some bullshit, but you
I'm shaking things up, man.
I don't like that.
We got to pump those listener numbers up.
Oh, yes.
We're going to bring in the subscribers, baby.
Throwing me off my game is going to... God damn it, I hate you. I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm here.
I can tell.
And that's about what I can say. This is Nerdiest Part of the Ring. We have a big show to talk about. We got AEW Dynasty. We've got the thing is, how many times am I going to call it Dynamite? So
yeah.
Like, get the counters ready. We have AEW Dynasty. We have a bunch of injury news, unfortunately. Plenty to talk about this week, so we're gonna jump into everything. But before we do that, we start every episode the same way, with the power of positivity. Because the internet can be such a negative and toxic place, we try to do our part to make it less so. Bring a little bit of positivity to the world of wrestling. And we encourage you to do the same, because you never know if someone's having a bad day. Just a nice comment can turn things around for them. Mine goes to our friend Andy, because he found and sent me the Chase Danhausen from the AEW Unmatched line, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah,
and
it's
he
super
just did
cool.
It because, like, he offered it to you first, and you told him, like, no, Asa would like this more.
Yeah,
so
I have a bunch of Chases, a lot that he's found, like, at least a third of mine in Texas, and he's always like, he always sends them to me, or he'll wait till he's in town. And, like, my Christmas present was Owen and Brody, which were two Chases that I was, like, fiending for. And, yeah, no, that was, like, my Christmas gift last year. Andy's the fucking best. And, yeah, no, he sent me that Danhausen, and I was like, oh, dude. Because, like, he likes Danhausen, so I was like, and he'll keep wrestling figures every once in a while. Like, mm-hmm. It's rare. It's not his bag. Like, he loves wrestling, but, like, the figures really aren't for him. So I was like, oh, shit. And he was like, yeah, probably the last Dallas Chase. He's like, when do you want me to send it to you? And I was like, I think Asa would like it more. Because, like, I would love to have that Chase, but, like, you are a way bigger Danhausen fan than me.
It's true.
So, like, yeah, no, so I'm super happy you got it. I'm happy it's in great condition. I got an extra protector that I have on my shop hangman that's behind me. I need to get that to you so that way you can keep them pretty. So yeah, remind me, I'll get you one of the protectors for it.
Hell yeah.
He's the man. He's better than Jesus. If you listen to our, WrestleMania preview, because he's the Cody Rhodes is the Andy of the WWE. He's just bringing everybody together.
Right.
So I was gonna, like, my power of positivity was going to be the main event from Dynasty, but we still got to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And it's my runner up for power positivity, Asa. And that means something beat it.
Something beat it about 15 minutes ago?
No, beat it a couple days ago.
Okay.
I'm going to go to, Donatello Sriracha on, Twitter or X, which is Nyla Rose, Beast. Because Oklahoma sucks, by the way. This is going to be a negative to go into a positive. So Oklahoma's athletic commission, which I do not jive with athletic commissions for professional wrestling. It is a scripted sport. I don't know, like, you don't put a commission on live theater. That's what wrestling essentially is. I think it's fucking dumb. I have to work with the Missouri Athletic Commission so I can wrestle in Missouri. So like, yeah, I deal with what I hate, but I have to if I want to wrestle in Missouri. Well, Oklahoma's worse, which is saying something. They issued a warning to AEW about having Nyla Rose compete in their ring. In a scripted sport, they did not want a transgender woman wrestling because Oklahoma's on some fuck shit. It got out on X and people were like reposting it and shit and like had the warning that they had given to AEW. And Nyla Rose found one of the people like sharing the like letter and had probably the best tweet I've ever seen in my life. The tweet was, while sharing the warning, was, "Who the fuck was it? Don't worry, Oklahoma. I'll find that dastardly transgender and," checks notes, "entertained fans. How dare they make people happy?" I love Nyla's energy on everything that comes to transphobia. Because she pulls no punches while also being the most ridiculous human being about it. In the best way. Not ridiculous in, like, bad person. She just takes it the total left field of what they're taking it, and it's always funny. Like, if you bring a transphobic sign to an AEW show, she is going to see it, flip you off, probably tell you to go fuck off, and then we'll get you removed from the show. Because she don't need to deal with that. She doesn't. This gets posted on Twitter. What does she do? She shits all over it. I fucking love her. Like, if we went to a con and she was signing, I'm bringing the chase. And I don't like paying for figures to get signed too often, because like I like to open my shit. Because again, how many signed figures do I have? I have 2 signed figures and they're both by the same guy. That's different. I don't like having signed figures. I have two.
It was 2.
Yeah, I have 2 signed X-Pac figures. One of them because of Andy.
It all ties together, man. It's the Charlie Day. We got the strings connected to pictures, and at the center is Andy.
But like, if she was at a thing, I'm getting it signed. I will go get one of the normal figures in box, and I'll get them both signed. Cause she just fucking rocks so hard.
Yeah.
Like, the best of people. But yeah, I saw that tweet of just, who the fuck was it? Oh, get that dastardly transgender.
Her Twitter presence in general has been phenomenal. Like, when you think back to when we did the, if you remember, when we talked to Rebecca Valentine, and she was like, who should I be following on Twitter? We were both, like, simultaneously, Nyla Rose.
100%.
She's a must follow.
Yeah. Sir Pentico doesn't like it, but fuck him. God. Yeah,
Sir Pentico Nyla Rose beef is fantastic.
It's so good. We're team Nyla Rose here, right?
I mean, I'm team both of them because it's just hate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a
so
fan
good.
Of hate.
Hate. That's
just like
why,
in my heart.
That's why Drew be hitting for us real hard recently.
So hard. That Hater of the Year category is going to be so much fun.
Not really. It's a foregone. Like, he literally said, let's go to the ball, and then walked down the hallway of a hotel going, hate, hate, hate. He's won. It's just him.
Okay. Oh, it's definitely not just him, because
there's
you have Christian Cage.
There's other player
Christian
haters.
Christian Cage.
There's
you
other player haters.
AJ Styles flew around the world just to fuck with LA Knight to have a good WrestleMania match. Like, that is hate in your heart. Solo Sikoa murdered his brother for losing a match after that dude is winless since he beat John Cena back in like November. Because wins and losses matter. That is hate in your heart. This is a discussion for January. It is still only April. It is still only April.
And
it's at the end of April, but it's still only April.
I think he's ran away with it already. I don't think it's going to be beat.
We'll have to see.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll have to see.
We're going to have a tweet of the year category.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
That's
gonna
lot.
Be hard. Yeah, there's a lot of. I'm gonna have to start using that broken ass favorites feature so I can go back through, because I'm not going back through best tweets. AEW Dynasty was this past Sunday in St. Louis, Missouri. Neither myself or Dalton got to go, which was a bummer because
we have Monday jobs.
Being responsible sucks.
Yeah.
And being an adult, like if I had time off, I probably would have done it. I'm still kind of recovering from having to use all of my time this past year, being in the hospital. So,
and this week was state testing for my workplace. So mm-hmm. like there was no me leaving work.
Yeah, so we didn't get to go, and it fucking sucks because it was a great show. Like, dear Lord. I mean, but that's pretty typical, though, is we say it for just about every AEW pay-per-view, is, all right, well, the build itself may not have been great, but the matches were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And this kind of carries that in, continues that trend, I should say. The pre-show, the buy-in, whatever they call it beforehand. So the way they did it made more sense. My original plan, Dalton couldn't record last week. I was going to do a solo show, and then just stuff popped up, and it's like by the time I was going to be able to record, it would have been too late. So I was like, I'll do it Friday. And then Friday happened, and I was like, I do not have the energy for this. So... but one of the things I would have talked about is it's like, okay, you just have this big Trent Beretta heel turn. And then he's not even wrestling the person he turned against. This makes no sense.
Yeah.
The way they did it was better, but it still didn't make a lot of sense.
It was weird.
But he did still wrestle. He wrestled Matt Sydal, who is a St. Louis native. I thought it was kind of a weird choice to have him beat Matt in front of his hometown crowd, which, like, I get it. It's that extra heat. You know, you're going up against a hometown person.
It was also a really good match.
Yeah. Okay, good. We're starting off strong.
Yeah.
Which their pre-shows are typically pretty solid. Like,
yeah, their pre-shows are really, really, like, they make you want to buy the pay-per-view. Buy the goddamn pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I can't tell you a memorable match from Sunday Night Heat. Back whenever I would have wanted my mom to buy a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, no, the Eddie Kingston versus Japanese legend, like, this, like, five pay-per-views in a row where we got that fucking rocked every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do a lot of work to make you really, like, but if you watch, like, a WWE kickoff show, like... It is very few and far between where it's just like, if I didn't already own the network, I would be like, man, I really need to spend the $9.99 to get this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any, like, WrestleMania, did they even have pre-show matches?
Nope. Because they didn't
have... I don't know why my voice did that.
No, they didn't have a pre-show match. They did not have pre-show matches. It literally went into night one and night two. Okay, they had like an hour... They had like an hour and a half long kickoff show both nights.
Yeah, but I was talking about, like, an actual match, because sometimes they will do that. They'll do, like, during the kickoff show, they'll do matches, but...
Austin Aries versus Adrian Neville, or just Neville at the time. That was a famous one, because that's what, like, kicked off the self-destruction of Austin Aries in WWE.
Mm-hmm. But, let's see, yeah, it was a fun match. Trent got the win. He continued to assault Seidel after the match. Orange Cassidy made his entrance. They kind of teased some... physicality there, but it was Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata taking on Shane Taylor Promotions, Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty, who Anthony Ogogo has joined up with them, was on commentary, and was basically like, I hit harder than Shane Taylor.
Like, I did not hate him on commentary. Like, it was serviceable. Like, it wasn't super obnoxious from a heel. Like, I don't want to see him ever. It's not like whenever, like, one of the Blackpool Combat Club guys do commentary. When they do it, it is phenomenal. Anthony Ogogo was fine. He was serviceable in what he was doing. Like, I didn't find it offensive. I also didn't find it great.
Mm-hmm. It was weird. I'm not a huge Ogogo fan. And it may just be because of that Cody feud really kind of soured me on him.
Yeah.
But so seeing him align with Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty, like, I'm not stoked
about that. I am.
I mean, it could be fun. I'll give it a chance. I'm not completely writing it off. It's just, I can't say that it's like, okay, yeah, this is going to make me actively follow what's going on here.
That's fair. I think it's a good call because, like, it'll make you're putting Anthony Ogogo around two people that are really, really solid. And just kind of, like, let him be the mouthpiece and he can come in and do, like, not mouthpiece, but let him be the talker and, like, just shit stirrer as a whole. And, like, he can kind of learn from the other two.
But the main reason I disagree is Shane Taylor does not need a talker.
That's true.
He's Shane Taylor.
Yeah, he's
I want Shane Taylor to be the mouthpiece for Shane Taylor.
That's fair, yeah.
So, but overall, it was an okay tag match, like nothing
crazy. It was decent, yeah.
Kind of surprising to see both Shibata and Orange Cassidy on the pre-show, but, you know, it was a stacked card. You get people in where you can. And then the last match of the pre-show was a winner-take-all unification match for the AEW World Trios Championships and the ROH World Trios Championships. And so now it is the Unified AEW Trios Championships, I think is what it's called. I don't even know if they have a name for it or if it's... The unification rules are going to be questionable. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But Bullet Club, Gold, Jay White, Austin, and Colton Gunn defeated the Acclaimed to win that match to unify the championships. Jay White getting the pinfall for his team.
It was a match.
Yeah, it was fine. It really bums me out how little I care about this, given that it's the Acclaimed and given that it's Jay White. And it's like, and I don't mean that as a slight against the Guns. They just haven't really given me a reason to, I'm not as invested in them as performers as I am the other five people.
Yeah.
And even like Billy Gunn is like, it's cool to see him still going at the level he's going at his age. Because again, he's a physical specimen. He doesn't need to be doing this, but mm-hmm. he's doing it and he's doing it well. And that's cool. But
yeah.
I think it would be easier for me to care more if I felt like both AEW or ROH gave a shit about these six-man titles.
Yeah, that's been the issue. Like, it felt like they cared about them at first.
When did?
Because, like, I mean, the ROH six-man title has been a thing forever. But, like,
it hasn't been in a full 2 years since the AEW World Trios Championships were established.
Because the teams have been, like, the winners have been, well, we got Bullet Club Gold right now. Bullet Club Gold, the Acclaimed.
I have it pulled up here. Do you want me to just...
Let's see how many I get right. Those two.
Are you wanting to go in order, or are you just naming the people?
Naming the teams, but I might be able to put it in order.
You didn't put it in order, so.
Is it Bullet Club Gold, the Acclaimed? I'm working backwards.
Yes, I know, but you said Death Triangle.
Oh, well, then it's House of Black and then Death Triangle.
Nope.
There's a team in between? Is it Young Bucks and...
It's the Elite.
The Elite? Okay. Young Bucks and Hangman? Oh, no, it was Young Bucks and Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even Hangman. No. Kenny and Matt and Nick Jackson won it All Out, were stripped after Brawl Out.
Yep.
Death Triangle won it then the Elite won it, then House of Black won it, then the Acclaimed, then Bullet Club Gold.
I mean... Fortunately, the belt hasn't been hot potatoed a whole lot. Minus that whole, like, first team
best
winning
of seven series. Between, which granted, they weren't trading it back
That's
and forth.
That's true, yeah. But it wasn't traded like, back and forth.
Yeah.
It's just weird. And it may, like, I don't hate the fact that they did this. Because they have not treated Ring of Honor correctly. In the fact of just, like, all of their champions are just AEW guys.
Except, and don't show up on the ROH show.
Yeah.
Except for Athena, who has that brand on her back.
Carrying. And her minion's about to get her shit kicked in by the master of pro jitsu this weekend. So, like, that's unfortunate.
I don't think that show's this weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend. My bad. It's the 31st. Wait. Anyway.
That's not right. The date is definitely not correct.
Yeah, my bad.
Because the 31, I don't think this month has a 31st. Two, The 30th is next Tuesday. The 1st is...
Yeah, I'm dumb.
You're a...
Dummy? That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's May 31st.
May 31st. There it is.
Yeah. So it's at the end of next month.
Well, Athena's minion is going to get her shit kicked in by the Master of Projitsu May 31st. My bad. But... Yeah, no, like, so I'm kind of happy that they're just kind of dissolving the ROH titles. Because now you can just have the Trios titles AEW, and then you can have those guys show up at Ring of Honor, which they won't do. But, like, if they do, there can be a Ring of, or an AEW championship match on a Ring of Honor, kind of like NXT used to do with, like, the U.S. title in the early NXT promotion days. And it'd be, like, kind of a cool, like, oh, you were here, well, you get this. I'm cool with it being Bullet Club Gold. I don't know what they need to do with the Acclaimed, but they dropped the ball so hard with them whenever they won those tag titles. The first, like, the actual tag belts.
Yeah, that first, the run itself was not great. I'm almost to the point where I kind of want to just see Bowens be a singles guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost think, like, is it time to just end the Acclaimed? You know, let them maybe challenge for the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
In an actual for tag. Let them go after the Kingdom. Like, both of those matches would be really good.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Yeah, something, but yeah, the shine is coming off, which is a bummer. Part of it was because they've been so wrapped up in the daddy ass boys... family drama.
Yeah, that went on saga.
Way too
yeah.
long, and then Bullet Club Gold turned heel on him again. It's just like, we're doing this again. But yeah, maybe create some distance there and they can do something cool. But yeah, give them something meaningful to do, and I'm sure we'll turn around on them. But yeah, it just kind of sucks that it does feel like they're being wasted in a way. And same thing with Jay White. Like, what are we doing with Jay White?
Especially when we talk about a match later on the card.
Yeah, I messaged Dalton and it was like, man, think about the treatment between recent New Japan signees, Jay White and Will Ospreay. But the first match, getting on before we get too hung up on talking about why we love the Acclaimed, because everybody loves the Acclaimed. First match of the pay-per-view proper, Kazuchika Okada retained his AEW Continental Championship by defeating Pac. I loved this match.
So Sadie, who is probably, out of everybody we know, the biggest Okada fan, like, her cat is named after the man.
Right.
She has been, like, she has been getting into wrestling more and more since her brother has been living with us. And so, like, huge Okada fan. When he signed, she lost her mind. She was kind of bummed that we didn't go to the show. Like, last week, she was just like, Dalton, it's Okada versus Pac. Like, why are we not getting tickets? And I was like, because I gotta wake up at 5 in the morning on Monday, and like, there's no calling off. So there's like, literally the one thing that would have made me go to the show happened. So like, no, I was not going to the show no matter what. But she is a huge Japanese wrestling fan. Whenever she was super into it, that was her jam. She watched it more than anything. She's like, nothing is better than shithead heel Okada. And I was like, yeah, no, like, it's none of us knew we wanted it. But now that we have it, it's the greatest fucking thing. He literally just fucking dumps Pac to the outside and just starts laughing at him while the crowd's chanting, you sick fuck. Like, it is so amazing. And then, like, yeah, me and her get super pumped anytime he does the Rainmaker pose. And he's like, oh, he's going to do the thing. And then he just flips it. Like, it was so good.
Yeah, because he knows the people want it. And then I think we need to launch a investigation to find out the substance that Pac's neck is made out of.
Oh, it's insane.
Like, oh, I made the joke on Twitter that it was flubber. But, like, I don't know how the shit that he does.
So you're talking about the Orton DDT to the outside, right?
Oh, yeah, that was one of them, which I think, actually, I don't even think it was that one, because, like, that one, he had his hand, like, you could kind of see
how
he planted himself.
Yeah,
I want to say, didn't he like fall on the turnbuckle or get dropped on the turnbuckle at one point?
I think so. The thing with him is that his upper body is so like, and I mean, look at him. Like, he's made of he's a brick of muscle.
Yes.
Like, I hate that I'm using this phrase, but it's very apt. He's built different. Like, his body can take a little bit more punishment than the normal one, and he's also so good at planting and posting properly that, like, I have to watch his shit to be like, how did he not just die? And, like, I've had, like, for, like, I slow down, like, I will frame by frame Pac selling and taking shit. And I'm like, all right, so how is he not dead? And then, like, he is so subtle with everything he does to protect himself, but he's so fucking strong that he's keeping himself from dying every time. It is so fucking cool to watch him. And yeah, no, him versus Okada, if we get this at like two more pay-per-views, I'm in. I'm so in. I can watch those two wrestle all day long. It was such a fun match, and I like Okada as the Elite's heater, basically, is my favorite thing. He's their heavy, which is perfect for Okada, because motherfucker's a heavy.
I like when a group has a heavy that doesn't look like a heavy.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like, Okada is jacked, and especially, like, this is gonna sound more negative than I mean it to be, and I don't mean it to be negative at all, but, like, when you look at the AEW locker room, he has that kind of build that does set him apart from a lot of their guys. But he's not like Diesel.
Yeah.
He's not like the personal dentist for Jerry Lawler.
He's 6'3". He's 63, 236.
Yeah. So, I mean, dude is big. Big boy. But he's not like a super giant.
He's not
Keith
Lee.
That you think of in that role. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's, and just the way that he plays the shit heel. Just.
Oh, he's so good.
He's so good at being just such a douchebag.
He's also only 36.
Yeah.
Because I had just Wikipedia'd it and I was like, oh, he's only 30. We got decades more of Okada.
We got time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Okada's the fucking man. Pac's the fucking man. Of course this match ruled.
I'm very excited to see what more matches that we get out of this Continental Championship run. I like that the Elite all kind of has gold, minus Jack Perry so far. I could see him being the one to take it off of Adam Copeland. I could see him being the one maybe he brings in an ROH championship.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, though. Like, this very much feels like an AEW stable, but... Excuse me. I'm very excited to see what is next for Okada. And also, just a shout-out to St. Louis for giving Pac that ovation after the match.
Yeah.
Because, like, him sitting there selling the frustration of just not being able to get the win done, but then the crowd, like, and they did a good job of, like, staying on that moment. We talk a lot about AEW pay-per-views not being paced particularly well because they don't let stuff breathe ever, but, like, this did get some time to kind of marinate.
Yeah.
And that was deserved and really well done. Next match up is the House of Black defeated Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe. I say it every time, the fucking entrances for House of Black are the coolest things.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit. I love the gear, like the gear that they put together, the matching colors and everything.
The red and black. Yeah, that was pretty dope.
Yeah. This Sunday it was the red and black. It was, they are such a cool unit. Like, why are we, they could have just won the trios titles back from the Acclaimed and like, let's just go from there.
Yeah.
One thing that I enjoyed from this match specifically is the way that they kept Malakai and Copeland separate.
Yeah.
Because that is clearly, that is going to be the TNT championship down the line at some point. And literally the only time they made contact is when he spit the mist in his face and hit him with the kick. I'm pretty sure.
I think they teased like the superplex.
Maybe, yeah. Am I wrong in thinking they had an extended stretch?
I mean, there was a long stretch where they were not involved at all.
Right, because they kept Malakai teasing it, and then he, like...
Would back
he immediately, like, tagged out. Like, that was where they were going to start the match, and then he tagged out.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually got... I don't think they interacted, like, in the match itself, though. I have to go back and rewatch it,
I'd have to watch the whole thing again.
I don't think I'm going to be able to, though, because I bought it on YouTube, so I can't go back and rewatch it. But, that said, I didn't have to deal with Bleacher Report, so worth it.
I bought it on Bleacher Report.
You fool. But now you can at least go back and rewatch it, though. I also really liked this match. It is kind of a thrown together team with Copeland, Briscoe, and Kingston, but I like that it is just like, well, the House of Black's kind of been fucking with Mark Briscoe. Kingston's not going to stand for that because Kingston's a ride or die. And Copeland, is just kind of like, I like these guys.
And Malachi's been fucking with it.
Yeah, and there has been the Malachi stuff too, but so it is kind of a thrown together team. I didn't realize it until they pointed it out, but it's like, yeah, it's a team of champions. Because like, oh yeah, Mark won the ROH Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Kingston still has the New Japan Neverweight Championship.
Strong.
Copeland's the TNT New Japan Strong.
Strong,
sorry.
There you go. I was about to say, different belt.
Different belt. That's another company that's like, well, you got enough.
Yeah.
You've got enough. All right, slow it down. And then Copeland's the TNT champion. There was a lot of fun moments. There was a lot of really good... Murphy had, like, just a fucking god-level timing.
Matthews.
On one of his... fucking Christ.
You're good.
Matthews. Buddy Matthews. You know who I'm talking about. Buddy Matthews had just that god-level timing on one of the... interrupting the pitfalls.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing that. I was like, oh, that's it. Oh, shit. He's there.
Yeah.
And he was there. I want to see Eddie Kingston and Brody King fight every day.
It's good. It's real good.
I like them together a lot. So give me more of that. The finish was Malachi Black countering the spear by spitting the mist into Copeland's face. Hits the kick. 1, 2, 3. I told Dalton, boy, I really hope they try to do some spooky shit with Copeland after the spooky shit he tried to do with Judgment Day bombed hard.
Yeah.
So let's see what they can turn that into. Jokes aside, I am very excited to see Malachi Black versus Adam Copeland. Like, that is going to be a fucking blast.
100%. And it'll be super solid too. Like, it'll be fun, just like the story they tell. But mm-hmm. The match within that story is also going to fuck.
Yeah. 100%. That's just real quick.
Is it Julia Hart and Willow next?
Yeah, I'm doing some quick math. The next matchup was the House Rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart to become the new TBS champion. Two big complaints that I have with this matchup. The first being, I don't know if something went wrong. I don't know. I've seen some people speculate that maybe Julia got hurt. This match is the shortest match on the card by 9 minutes.
How long was the match?
6 minutes.
Really?
The second shortest match on the main card is 15 minutes and 10 seconds.
Which match was that?
Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa.
That's unfortunate.
The only match that was shorter than both of theirs were the three pre-show matches.
That's super unfortunate.
So one, that's one gripe. Two, I love the concept of house rules when the House of Black is champion.
Mm-hmm.
The no rope breaks, the 20 count on the outside. The house rule, though, needs to be taken more seriously.
Abaddon said no biting. That's her whole thing.
Willow said Sky Blue and Chris Statlander were barred from ringside.
Yeah,
why? That's a stupid fucking rule. I get it. You're a good guy. You want to play fair. And you just want you want a fair opportunity. Cool. But as a fan, that's a lame-ass stipulation to pick.
Yeah.
What do we want? We want to see a table match. We want to see a street fight. We want to see something. Or like, even, hey, you know what? Fuck you. Guess what? Sky Blue's banned from ringside. I get Stat and Stoke.
Stoke, yeah. Because, like, even if you're using dumb face logic,
mm-hmm.
I don't want Sky Blue to get involved. Ask for a steel cage match. Like, at least then, like, you're getting a stipulation out of it instead of just, we're going to bar people from ringside. Because, yeah. Like,
and the, it was this, they did the same thing with the Acclaimed.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I was like, the Acclaimed did the same thing where they said Julia Hart's going to be banned from ringside.
Yeah, and I was like, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. Their house rule was, we don't want a house rule. We don't need it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it was worse.
Yeah.
So, like, either drop that part of it or take it more seriously. The match itself was good. The Willow win was very exciting. I personally wasn't expecting it.
No, I wasn't either.
Which, the whole Mercedes stuff, like, I guess does make sense. And, like, we're kind of getting the devious Statlander teases. I did like that the commentary team did just straight up call Mercedes out for interrupting Willow's moment, because it does seem like we are going to be getting, because they need to turn her heel for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited for her versus Mercedes at Double or Nothing. I'm excited to see where the Statlander and Stokely of it tie in. But yeah, they deserve more time. They could have used more time. The match itself was fine, but it really didn't have a chance to be more than that. So, let's see. Next up is going to be a very controversial opinion. I think this is my favorite match of the night.
Roddy and Orange?
Roderick Strong defeating Kyle O'Reilly. AEW International Championship. This match was supremely my shit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And obviously, we're going to talk about Danielson and Ospreay. Obviously, that match was great as well. Just, this one scratched a part of my brain in a way that, like, it gave me the good chemicals. I loved Strong going after the limbs. I loved him hitting a million backbreakers. That shit just rules. Like, yeah, I loved this match.
This match was great. of course, these two guys had a phenomenal chemistry with each other. And, like, again, the story they tell within just the bust-ass match they had, I don't get, like, it's very much a Ospreay, Danielson, Kyle O'Reilly thing, but, like, the strikes with the open palm, just, it's weird to me. Because, like, I don't get how they're, like, they make them look so good whenever they're not really good-looking strikes to begin with, because it's a practical hit. Like, an open palm isn't, like, it's supposed to be a knockout shot, but it's not supposed to be, like, it's not a wild haymaker. But those, like, three, I think Kyle does it, and I feel like he used it in this match from time to time, and every time I'm like, that's so fucking cool. I love Kyle O'Reilly. He's one of those. But, like, even, like, the things they did in between, like, whenever Roddy gets in the ring and he gets in front of Kyle and he just starts playing the international belt like a guitar to mock him. And I was like, I get it. I understood that reference. I like that. Yeah, I like this match a lot. And then we finally get, again, probably Taz and Excalibur on their best call of the night whenever Adam Cole shows up and he gets out of the wheelchair and Taz yells, "It's a miracle!" Well, with surgery and time.
Well, like, it was surgery and a lot of time.
that tickled me so much. But we have Adam Cole back, potentially.
Okay, so something that I'm going to say, the thing that is the biggest black eye to this match was Wardlow coming out and doing fucking nothing.
That was weird, yeah.
And commentary having to be like, oh, well, I mean, Wardlow was a distraction. And I mean, kinda, but like, he didn't do anything. And then Adam Cole comes out and he gives him the stink eye of just like, all right, well, Cole's about to murder Wardlow. Fucking why? Am I missing something? Like, why is Cole mad at Wardlow?
Because he's MJF's friend.
But he's not.
He's not. But
and we haven't seen MJF since they beat the shit out of him.
And it's Adam Cole, who is literally they played into the BTE thing whenever he came back of being like, you were dead. Like, they were doing that with Kenny Omega. And it's the whole thing of just like, no, Adam Cole is just like, that is just the living embodiment of a snake in the grass now that he was the devil. Or the, like, see, the second devil.
And, like, you're, it's not that you're wrong. It's just that he, but he does it with a purpose. And he does it with a point. And unless it's going to be like a, well, I did to you what you were going to do to me. I just did it before you got the chance. Because he's a because he's, like, paranoid about it. Because he's so untrustworthy, he doesn't trust anybody. All right, if you go down that route, maybe. But, like, there has been, again, and please, like, Dylan, Michaela, Andy, Garrett, whoever's listening to this, please tell me if I'm missing something. Of, like, so, like, have they been teasing dissension? Like, but the only story to come out of this since they, you know, destroyed MJF is Wardlow challenged Joe for the title, lost. And then the whole focus has been Roderick Strong getting the international championship.
Yeah. Unless they're playing into something of Wardlow losing that match, and that's like the Undisputed Kingdom's one black eye, is that, well, we should have the world title, but you couldn't do it. So now Adam Cole is pissed off at you because everybody else in that team has belts.
Yeah, but there's too much time and not enough, like...
Oh, I'm not saying you're wrong.
This isn't, like, this isn't, wrestling fans don't have a long attention span. They need to be spoon-fed everything. It's just, it's such a weird thing that it hasn't been a issue until suddenly, I guess now it is? I don't know. But that was my only big, that was my big complaint. Remember that time where they were, like, shaking hands, but they weren't shaking hands, and Taz was even like, oh, that's a wrist lock. And they were just, so they were holding on and just elbowing the shit out of each other.
I loved that. It was so, yeah.
Loved that match. Next up was the FTW rules match where Chris Jericho defeated Hook to win the FTW championship.
Do we have to talk about it?
It was fine. It was a car crash death match. Hook damn near murdered Jericho. With that soup, that German, and his head almost hit the corner of the ring steps.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah.
Didn't need to see that, but ultimately Jericho hit his finisher. I said it during the Cody Roman match. I'll say it again. Having to use your finisher three times to keep someone down doesn't make the other person look strong. It makes your finisher look like shit.
Yeah. It was two Judas effects and a baseball bat to the head.
You're right. I apologize. He couldn't use his finisher because he used his finisher twice.
Yeah.
And then had to use a baseball shot to the head. Baseball bat shot to the head. So, Jericho, who's going by the, who's doing a learning tree shtick, and now Big Bill is involved. Man, I.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to talk about it.
I
desperately hate these kind of matches, especially by people that don't know, that don't work that style a lot. There are some people that can work a hardcore style match and it'd be great every time. Tommy Dreamer was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people, that's just their shit. Sandman, like Sandman was a garbage wrestler, but if you put weapons involved, Sandman was the goddamn goat. Like, some people really thrive in that, but the second you start adding a bunch of technical wrestling in with it, that is not for me.
I mean, and honestly, like, Jericho has proven that he can do deathmatch shit well, but it's when he's in there with someone who...
You mean with, like,
primarily...
Yeah.
Who primarily does deathmatch shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just, this was a miss for me. I'm not as down on it as the rest of the internet seems to be.
I did not like it.
The please retire chants were funny. St. Louis wanted no part of him. I messaged you, well, you know Jericho is fully a heel because he stopped using Judas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not getting the sing-along treatment anymore.
Well, it's because he's the Lionheart, so he uses the different music.
Yeah, but...
Which they're making an action figure of. We can't get Alex Reynolds in the regular line, but we can get Lionheart Chris Jericho.
The AEW Women's World Championship was defended. Tony Storm defeated Thunder Rosa. I did too. I really enjoyed this. My smart ass, whenever Thunder Rosa came out wearing the mask and she took it off. Wait, that was Thunder Rosa?
I'm not going to lie. I wanted her to wrestle in that mask the whole match because that mask fucking ruled.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Like, if you're going to give me an ultimate of Thunder, she was supposed to be in the fourth wave of ultimates with Punk, and then all of that got scrapped because ultimates are Supremes. Supremes are not, like, as sought after as they thought they were going to be because they're super expensive. But, like, if they want to try to do a Thunder Rosa Supreme, I want that. That gear fucking rocked. And, like, it was cool seeing her not wrestle with the face paint. Like, I know it's a very, like, and that's the story they were telling, but, like, it was a striking difference compared to what we're used to.
I also thought it was funny with that they were like, oh, when Taz's like, she's got no makeup on. And Excalibur's like, it was like, well, she doesn't have the face paint because she had, like, you know, full face and makeup.
Yeah.
I didn't like the low blow.
That was weird. Yeah.
Low blows in women's, like, NXT did one a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago at this point. And it was also, that was just another, like, all right, I guess, like, no one likes to be, like, I talked to Audra, and she's like, I mean, it's not a thing people enjoy, but it's not like, it's not the same as when it happens to a man.
It popped me and Sadie, because, like, we were not expecting that to be the finish.
And I think that's part of my problem, is it was, this feud has been very strong. And very personal and very serious. And Toni Storm is an inherently goofy character, and there is a level of silliness to what she does. But for that level of silliness to then not only come into a big match in a big moment in a big meaningful way, I was just like, ah, really? Come on. Like, she could have. I'm okay with her winning dirty. Like, I'm okay with her cheating. You know, use knuckles. Use, let fucking Luther come out with a silver serving platter. Tray. Yeah, silver platter. And, you know, have her bash her in the head with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with her cheating. Just, like, the low blow was just, it was goofy. And nothing about this feud has been goofy.
Yeah. So. It's been a really, like, Toni Storm's builds to her matches have been so good.
Yes.
And, like, granted, all of the matches have been good, too. This one was good, just, like you said, the last 30 seconds it was goofy.
And and that's why it stood out so much to me.
Yeah.
Because, Toni Storm is the example of just, like, oh, no. You know her builds are going to be entertaining. You know her matches are going to deliver.
Every time, like,
she right now, if you were going to do a tier list of, like, the AEW most valuable performers,
she's up
there, because her segments are always entertaining. Her segments are always talked about. She elevates the people that she's working with. Like, Mariah May is, like, people give a shit about Mariah May.
Yeah. She's a point guard. Like, I've used this analogy before. She's a point guard. She can score. She can, like, she can do so much. She's so versatile. But the best thing about her is she can pass that ball to someone else and put them in the perfect position to score. So she's elevating everybody around her. She's good at the assist game. She has made the women's division better as a whole, like, probably more so than any other woman that AEW has had.
Yeah.
Because, like, they've had great wrestlers, but they're great wrestlers having great matches. Where I can't tell you a women's story that wasn't a Toni Storm story. Because Toni Storm has, like, especially since this Timeless thing, Toni Storm is probably making some of the best women's stories that we have seen on AEW. Like, yeah, we had Jade's undefeated streak, and we had, like, a couple of things like that, but, like, the Deonna Purrazzo thing, like, even the Sheeta match, which was just like, hey, let's give Sheeta a championship match in front of a crowd for once, like, her losing the belt and then getting a rematch, like, Toni Storm made all of those, like, made a, like, really, that character really set in motion to give a full-fledged story outside of, well, this is number one and number two, they're going to have a match. Well, she just lost the belt, so now the number one and the number two are going to have a match again. It's just flipped. Like, Toni Storm has really been the linchpin on having some really good, like you said, personal stories within the women's division.
I mean, and I will say, there have been stories within the women's division. The issue is, they typically revolve around the championship.
Yeah, these are
There's not a lot of examples of, like, there are some, like, you look at, like, the Anna Jay Bunny tag match with Ruby Soho and, like, you know what I'm talking about, like, those matches and things like that. So they do more, but yeah, we've talked about it before of how AEW has an issue with how they book their women. And now that, you know, like right now, predominantly, the only two real women's stories going on are surrounding the titles.
Yeah.
You did have, now granted, you did have the Ruby Soho outcasts, them not approving of her with Angelo, which, by the way, congrats to them on.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Gonna be having a baby. But yeah, it's just, they got to get their women's division more time and more substance.
Yeah.
The roster is stacked.
Their the talent roster is not insane. An issue. Yeah.
It's just, you give them time, give them meaningful shit. But you have a champion like Toni Storm who is given time, is given memorable shit, and knocks it out of the park every time.
Yeah.
So, next up in what people are calling the greatest professional wrestling match to happen in North America, Will Ospreay defeated Bryan Danielson. I loved this match.
It was great.
Obviously, it was incredible. Like, the entire time I'm watching, I'm like, hell yeah, this fucking rules. And then the last, like, 2 minutes happen.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, why do we have to do this every time? Why do we have to do this every fucking time? Quit reminding me that this dude almost died.
Yeah.
I don't need to be reminded of that. He's back. We have him back. Let me enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I hated the finish. I really hated the finish. I hated the post-match angle. It was well done, but I did not like it. And it also made Ospreay look, like, real stupid. Like, real stupid. Of, all right, he hits the Tiger Driver, and then the referee's, like, checking on him. Ospreay watches the referee check on him. He then, like, turns around while the referee then runs to, like, call for the medic. And then the referee turns around, and then Ospreay turns around, and he hits the Hidden Blade. And the referee's like, no, he's not clear. We're not continuing this match. Oh, well, 1, 2, 3, we'll count it.
Yeah.
You gotta do one or the other. And Ospreay that, oh, I didn't realize the referee was calling for the medic. I didn't realize he was hurt. Like, I hated it. I hated the ending to this. Which bums me out, because everything leading up to it was fucking incredible. The Hidden Blade, Busaiko knee, like, charging at each other moment. Which, by the way, Trick Williams and Ilya Dragunov did not rip that off in their match on Tuesday. That was a callback to the first match they had. That was the finish that they had weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Ilya came up on top of it that time. Anyway,
that's
just because I saw idiots on the internet being like, oh, they ripped off a spot from AEW. It's like, no, that's not what happened.
Also,
and AEW didn't rip them off either.
And all, yeah, that's also not how wrestling works. Like, wrestling is just one giant ripoff thing. So someone ripped someone off, but someone ripped someone off from a spot from 8 years ago. And that was ripped off from a spot from 10 years ago. Like, I absolutely hate that, because, like, well, that's just people being fucking stupid, like you said. Mm-hmm. This match was phenomenal. Like, there's no way around it. Everything that, like, was, like, it was so fucking cool. And it was one of those things that, like, they both had a very great understanding of the other person's greatest hits. Because they got through that. And then they just worked, like, a phenomenal match in between. And, like, understood the other person's style so well, where, like, Danielson very much was trying to just ground Ospreay the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And was just tying him up every chance he, like, we started with, like, a surfboard stretch in the first minute, and that's how I knew it was going to be the best fucking wrestling match of all time, because they were already doing the Secret Society cool wrestlers handshake moves, Because, like, you have to be talented to give and take some of the moves they were doing. And it's just, like, we're both, like, two of the best people ever. So let's do all the cool shit. And then, so they did all the cool shit, and they were like, all right, cool, now let's have a good match. And they did have a good match. And then they, like, they just, like, they built such a neat foundation, and then built, like, the City Museum in St. Louis, where it was just the most fantastical building of all time. That's what I felt this match was. It was just, they took everybody on a really cool ride. And, like, I don't hate the finish. I get why you don't like the finish. I get, like, if someone says this finish was not for me and I hated it, I'm like, yeah, no, dude, I totally get it. Because, like...
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people are wrong for loving this match or calling it the best match of all time, or even if you like the finish. That's not what this show's about. That's not what we're about, obviously. Like,
yeah.
Just to be clear, like, it's okay if you like the finish. I'm not mad at you. I just personally hated it.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was like. I wasn't saying you were wrong for not liking it. I just...
No, I'm just clarifying.
Like, yeah, sometimes me and you legitimately have different opinions on matches. We do tend to run one-to-one a lot, but there are deviations, and this is one of the times where I'm like, no, I don't hate it, because, like, if you want to tell me that this is a legitimate thing where wins and losses matter, and you're facing what you have said to be one of the best ever, and you're like, okay, I just put him down, like, the ref's checking on him, he's away from him, I'm finishing this shit, and, like, yeah, it got a little wonky in the end, but I could understand, excuse me, I can understand that, just being somebody that watches MMA all the time, where it's just like, it's not over until you are pulled off from the, like, until you feel a tap out, or until you get pulled off of the person. Mm-hmm. Ospreay was never pulled off of Danielson. He was checked on. How many times do we see refs checking on people in matches? All the fucking time. He was away. Ospreay said, fucking done. He's clear. I'm going. And puts him out. Now, granted, yeah, maybe they shouldn't have called, like... No, I like the finish. I like the way they did it. It made sense to me. It's a very weird thing that, like, it was a weird call to have the finish be that way. There was about 100 different ways that could have finished the match that would have made more sense. But at the end of the day, I still really like the way they did it.
And maybe this would have been a cop-out, but even if the official would have been like, no, I'm not counting this pin, get off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bryan Danielson is not able to continue the matchup. TKO, Will Ospreay wins the match. Like, Will Ospreay is... Bryan Danielson can no longer continue.
Mm-hmm.
Winner of the match is Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Of just like, no, you heard him. No, granted, they are doing it as a story where Ospreay isn't going to use the Tiger Driver anymore. At least until he turns heel and tries to murder somebody. Or it's a last ditch effort and he hits it on Swerve to win the title. Like, one of the two. It's going to be one of the two. So it'll be curious to see what comes of it. But like I said, this match was incredible. Like, it was also very much supremely my shit. I really wish that I didn't hate the finishes and the post-match, like, injury angle. Like, again, it was well done. Danielson is phenomenal at making you think that he's hurt.
Yeah.
And it was someone on Reddit or Twitter pointed out that's just like, well, no, like, he can make you believe that he is about to die. But then when you see him wrestle actually hurt, you can't tell.
Yeah.
So that's how you know he's okay.
Like, yeah.
So that was funny. But yeah, the match was incredible. We could talk about it, I'm sure, significantly longer, but we running low on time and still got two big things to talk about. The tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships. The Young Bucks, the EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, defeated FTR to become the first ever three-time tag team champions in AEW history. FTR wrestled this match like their lives depended on it.
100%.
But they didn't want to live. Like, they wrestled this match like they owed Tony Khan money. Like, hey, we may have, like, fucked up your draft.
We told, like, your guy to draft a kicker. We're sorry.
We said Plaxico Burress was a surefire bet for MVP this year. Are you impressed that I know who Plaxico Burress is?
Yes, but I'm like, man, that is a 14-year reference right there. Dylan Hager giggled for sure at that. Wait a minute, is he a football guy? I know he's a baseball guy.
He probably knows shit.
He'll send me a message.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Did I just shoot myself in the foot? Hashtag Plaxico.
I again, this was a great ladder match. They did a lot, but nothing felt unnecessary.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's weird because it's a Young Bucks match. So what I'm about to say makes sense, but doesn't make sense. There was a lot of spots, but were there? Like, that's what it felt like. Where, like, they did a bunch, but it didn't feel like
it was paced well.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I wanted. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For it was paced well.
For a Young Bucks ladder match, it was paced very well.
Yes.
Especially with that qualifier. The finish was Dax was about to pull the championships down. Someone ran in a sting mask, knocked him off the ladder. Security runs in, they're like, oh, that's a fan. He takes off the mask, and it's not Sting, for once. I was heartbroken, because I thought it might be. And it was instead the scapegoat, Jack Perry, who's returned to AEW after... we haven't seen him since All In.
Outside was of New Japan. It was All In. Yeah, it was All In.
The Wembley show. Yeah, he's been working at New Japan, where he tore up his AEW contract. Like, that shit was stupid, but... So, he's officially joined up with the Elite, the EVPs, allowing them to pull the ladder down. I'm into it. It retroactive, which, granted, like... It's not a surprise that this happened, but I will say it makes showing the CM Punk footage make at least a little bit of sense in retrospect.
Yeah.
Because like, all right, we're going to show it. We know why they really want to show it, but now they're showing it and they have to pretend like, oh, we were distracted. That's why you beat us.
Yeah.
At All In. But like for them to use it as a way to bring Jack Perry in. Okay. Like,
yeah. I do genuinely love the concept of, like, if you go back and watch, like, the video packaging and, like, the promos leading up to this match, of being, like, Matthew being, like, you wanted to shake our hands knowing with what we dealt with. Like, fuck you and fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of this is very hokey and is very unnecessary, but with the way that they're telling it, I don't hate it. I hated it at first. We talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on this show, but like, I thought it was dumb, like a lot of people did. But like, they're pivoting off of the really stupid choice they made in almost a brilliant way that I'm like, okay, unnecessary. We can all agree unnecessary, but at least you're doing something with it. And you're getting someone over. Like, I think the tape being shown, and then that Windy City Showdown, the New Japan show where Jack Perry came back in Chicago and was like, I mean, he was hated, but was getting like an actual wrestling heel reaction, not just go home heat.
Right.
And AEW, like, I'm willing to say, Tony Khan was there at that show. I'm willing to say Tony Khan saw that and was like, yeah, we're bringing him back.
Oh, like, he knew well before then.
Well, like, yeah, but that was definitely a, like, oh, well, we can strike while the iron's hot. Because, like, again, I think the only person coming out of this whole dumb shit showing the footage thing, the only person that's coming out looking good in the eyes of anybody is Jack Perry. Because, like, yeah, he said some dumb shit on the show, but, like, he didn't really do anything wrong. And, like... crowds are reacting to him more than what they were with Jungle Boy, and even like his heel run where he was coming out to Beethoven's Fifth for some fucking reason. Like, yeah. It looks like they have something. And I'm going to let you know, I love this new version of the Elite. I fucking love this new version of the Elite.
What do you... So they laid out Tony Khan on Dynamite last night. It has been announced that Kenny Omega is going to be there on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he's going to do? Because I have a guess.
I mean, he's gonna be feuding with the Elite. Like, but I think you think
he's coming in to wrestle?
Oh no, I don't think he's coming in to wrestle.
Okay.
I think they're gonna build a story, but I think he's gonna get like it's gonna start. This is gonna kickstart a feud with the Elite. I don't know if he's totally cleared yet, but like, let's get some more heat for these guys because I don't think that Tony Khan thing did what they thought it would do. Because like Tony Khan is not a beloved figure in wrestling like he was 3-4 years ago, because of just some of the dumb stuff that's happened. But like, you know who is very beloved? Kenny Omega. Because like through all of this shit, Omega's not looked worse for wear. And Omega is the All Elite guy. Like, that's who they were hitching their wagon to day one. And it's one of those where, like, if you're an AEW fan, you're very aware of Okada and Omega's feud, their New Japan run. Now, yeah, there's some people that don't know about it, but, like, you've seen how good Okada is in the last couple months. You know what Omega is. Put them together. If you know, you know. I think that Omega's going to show up and the Elite's going to beat him down. But what's going to start it is they're going to be like, oh, Kenny's back. Like, in like, because they, like, the Elite know, like, or the Bucks know what Omega's capable of.
Yeah, but they fired him.
Yes, but they're going to try to play nice because they don't want the smoke. And then Omega's going to be like, it's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens with him and Okada. He's going to see that guy and be like, fuck that guy. I stay saying fuck that guy. I, like, 5 years of my life was dedicated to fuck that guy. And like, they're gonna be like, well, Okada's the new toy, side with Okada. They're gonna beat down Kenny, and in whenever Hangman's cleared, we're gonna get an Kenny Hangman FTR versus the new Elite match, which is going to be silly.
I think Kenny Omega, depending on his health, depending on what he's able to do, I think Kenny Omega comes in as an on-screen authority figure.
You think so? That's what I was thinking that the stipulation would be, is going to be like all EVP statuses up for grabs. And then
we maybe get there. I hope we don't, because I hate the idea of an active competitor as a, like, it works for the Young Bucks for now, but I don't want to see it be, you know, oh, well, Ric Flair's the commissioner, but Stone Cold's the commissioner, but Mick Foley's a commissioner. Like, I don't like that. I want this to just be a, hey, you fucked up Tony. Tony's out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in his absence, he put me in charge. Because you forget, I'm also an EVP.
Mm-hmm.
So between the power I already had and the power Tony gave me, I can override you two. And then that's the conflict. And then eventually, once he's healthy enough to wrestle again, that's where they end up going.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's going to depend on his health, if he's able to travel. You know, he doesn't necessarily need to be at every show for that. But I do think that is what we get. Or it's going to be something much less substantial. And like you said, maybe they just run him down on the microphone. If he can, you know, take a
bump or something.
You know, yeah, something like that. But like I said, it's and ultimately, like, I was someone that I was hoping they were going to keep Kenny Omega away until he was ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be like a surprise thing. But if we're not doing that, I think this is kind of what they're going for. Could be totally wrong. We'll find out next week. We'll talk about it next week. But
yeah,
this ladder match was dope.
Oh, it was a good match.
It was a lot of fun. It was very, like, just the stereo, where you could kind of see them in the background before he hits the pile driver, like, yeah, watching the table bump. Like, yeah, I liked it a lot. And then the main event, Swerve Strickland defeated Samoa Joe to win the AEW World Championship. And again, it's a thing of just, like, the thing that sticks out in my head is I wish Swerve had a new finisher. And we've talked about this a little bit, of just, like, I don't like... It's different from most top rope moves because, like, the opponent has to be kind of sitting up.
Yeah, there has to be a moment of, yeah.
And so between that and the fact that Joe, like, had to put himself into position, like, I feel like a fucking old man yelling at clouds of, like, back in my day, they used to drag the opponent and put them in position. And then if they needed to make little small adjustments from there, it wasn't as noticeable. But nowadays, you see these guys just scoot, just like they may as well just kind of like stand up, walk to where they're supposed to be, and then lay back down.
Lay back down, yeah.
And I feel like the fucking, like, this is Axe Allwort yelling about the Young Bucks. Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like I'm losing my mind, and it's, I don't know. That's just, it. So that kind of always set itchy with me. That said, Swerve countering the walk away.
That was dope. Yeah, he lands on his feet. Yeah, 100%. Axe likes AEW, by the way.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, no, we've talked about it. We've been in locker rooms together, and we've talked about it.
Well, no, but that's what I mean. Like, yeah. The idea of I hate AEW because I hate the Young Bucks is stupid, and I know Axe isn't stupid.
So. No, he's super smart. I said it to you on in our messages, like, right before the show started. I said, good news, neither of us are there, so Swerve's winning the belt. Because I know for a fact if I'd have spent money to go, Joe would have retained. Because I know how my life works. It was my power of positivity this week. If it wasn't for Nyla Rose just being a fucking G. Swerve winning a world title is amazing. It just racked us up to another moment of I should have went to a show in St. Louis and I didn't. Sting's first WWE appearance was at Survivor Series in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It was in St. Louis. I had a friend that worked at Penny's that had tickets. I decided not to go. Like, that's my life in a nutshell.
So real quick, just a neat little side note that someone on Reddit pointed out. The referee for the main event, Stephon Smith, was the same referee that counted the pinfall when Swerve won the NXT North American Championship.
Yeah.
Just that's a neat little coincidence.
Yeah, that's wrestling. Cool.
And this was his, they said on commentary, this was his first pay-per-view main event match being a ref. And that's something that AEW does. And I know, like, we have friends that disagree, and that's fine. But I like that AEW lets the referees have personalities. And, like...
Yeah.
You can... And granted, WWE has, since Vince is gone, like, has shifted away from, nope, they have to be nameless, they cannot be a part of the story, like...
Like, we're getting action figures now.
Yeah. So, I like that.
Like, they're being named in video games again. Like, we're getting shit.
Yeah, they're not just generic people that are just happen to be there. They're given characters. So that's cool. And that was a cool little bit of them coming together.
Yeah.
Did you, so with this matchup, what do you think Swerve's reign looks like?
AEW does not do well with face champions.
Correct.
So I, like, and it breaks my heart, I see 4 months, like, if he gets to All In, I'll be shocked with the title.
Mm-hmm.
I see him losing it to, either Ospreay or if Adam Cole is back 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you would have the Undisputed Kingdom to have to deal with, like, I hope they give, like... I hope he gets more of a Hangman reign, minus, like, because, like, Hangman's reign was amazing, minus the last month of it. Sorry, I had a burp. All that CM Punk bullshit at the end really kind of, like, sullied people's opinion on it, but when you go back and watch Hangman's, like, actual title reign, he had a lot of fun shit going on during that time.
He had a lot of great matches, but there wasn't a great story.
Once he won the title,
the story kind of ended, and that's a little what I'm worried about with Strickland. We're going to get a lot of really cool matches out of it, but I hope there's a story to back it up. Now, it would be cool to see Mogul Embassy versus Undisputed Kingdom, because I genuinely think that is a faction with Prince Nana, with Swerve, they would work as faces.
Yeah.
Especially just like you have these towering fucking monsters, you have the coolest person on the planet, and Swerve Strickland... being able to just like get out there and then fuck it up with like, all right, what kind of seedy underhanded shit are Taven and
Mike Bennett?
Bennett, my brain was yelling Kanellis, and I knew that wasn't right, and it was gonna make you mad, and I wasn't trying to do the bit. But like Bennett and Taven having to like cheat around Gates of Agony, that's the tag team, isn't it? in that? Okay. My brain, again, my brain has been turning off.
No, you're good.
You know, Wardlow versus Cage, just...
There's a lot of shit you can do.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that you could do. So hopefully that does get, you know, some time if that's the direction they end up going. How long until Swerve wrestles Jarrett?
Jarrett?
Yes.
Month.
Like, you say that like you're surprised.
No, I was making sure I heard you right.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett, the guy who always ends up getting some sort of championship match against a face champion, and we're just screaming at the TV, why?
Because he just had an action figure come out, brother.
Because he's Jeff Jarrett is why. That is the answer.
You know how excited I am about this Jeff Jarrett figure? Also, cool fun fact, his figure was on pre-order for about 48 hours before they did the ringside top 10. Number one.
Well, and that's crazy. Hey, Dalton, if we were going to talk about action figures in wrestling,
you said Jeff Jarrett.
Do you think people would be willing to tune into a special edition of an All Wrestling with Articulation next week?
Are we titling it that? Because I need that to be the title now.
We are now.
Fuck yeah. I don't give a fuck if they want to listen to it. We're doing that shit. Fuck
them. So yeah, that's our way of saying we're going to do a bonus episode next week because there's so much Wrestling with Articulation stuff we've missed out on the last several weeks, like since Mania.
There's so much.
Yeah, like we're not even going to have time to get to the news this week. So
I have a giant fucking box I've been looking at all like episode, and I've just been like, I want to open you. That sounded gross.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
The Nitro Ring. No, shit, my bad.
I'm gonna do a tease. God,
see, you get mad at me when I don't talk. But when I talk too much, you also get mad.
I'm not mad that you talk too much. I'm mad that you gave... Oh, okay. It's fine. Happy me. It's going to be a fun weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Overall, Dalton, AEW Dynasty, what did you think?
Loved it. There was one match I didn't like. There was two matches I wasn't the biggest fan of. I didn't really like the House of Black... Copeland, Kingston, Briscoe, Matt. Yeah. There was a lot. It's the whole thing. Like, sometimes I really am into that, but I'm only really into that when it's three established teams. Like, Death Triangle and House of Black, they can fuck it up and do that kind of match all day long, and I'm like, fuck yeah. But when it's three random people, like, I don't know. I'm weird when it comes to stuff like that. But it was a good match. It wasn't for me.
I understand that. That's why I was just kind of surprised that was the other one. I was like, oh, well, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good pay-per-view. Andy asked me, because Andy, I let him use my Bleacher Report, and he had watched Ospreay and Danielson, and then he watched Pac and Okada, and he was like, is there anything else that you think I need to watch? And I was like, honestly, the whole show minus the FTW is worth watching. Like, it's all pretty solid. Like, they gave St. Louis a very, very good wrestling pay-per-view this past weekend. 10 out of 10 because they gave Swerve the belt. I've been singing that man's praises like since 2017. Like, we saw him at Glory Pro and I like instantly was hooked. Like, you were sitting by me.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the coolest motherfucker that's ever laced him up. And like, we've got to see the highs and lows, and we AEW's first African American champion. Like, it's super cool that it was him. I kind of still wish it would have been Scorpio Sky. But, like, this is a very good consolation prize to that.
Yeah. I agree. This was a tremendous pay-per-view. I even the Hook-Jericho match, which, granted, I still have that soft spot for Jericho. It's in there. It's ingrained in me.
I mean,
it's a part of my wrestling fandom that I don't think I'll ever really be able to let go. So I liked it more than most people did. But, yeah, that was a low point of the show. Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, Okada, Pac, Ospreay, Danielson, the ladder match, the main event, Tony Storm, Thunder Rosa, like, this show ruled.
It was so good.
So, but what did you think of the show? Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at NerdiestPart. I remember there was a question. Oh, like, do Adam Cole and Wardlow have issues that I've missed? Let me know. at Nerdy's Part, at the Five Star Man, at Mr. D Anthony, NPOTR. If you want to see us this weekend, you will get a chance. I will be at WrestleMax tomorrow night, Friday night, tonight, I should say, because this comes up Friday morning. WrestleMax tonight, Columbia, Illinois. I'm very, very excited to be at that show. Unfortunately, KLD is hurt, is not going to be cleared to wrestle Tankman, which is a huge bummer, and hopefully it isn't anything too serious, and we will run that back soon. But WrestleMax is a great team. It's always a great show, and hopefully you'll come and check it out. And then Saturday is Cape Championship Wrestling here in Cape Girardeau at the at the AC Braze Arena building. Very, very exciting. Dalton has a match that is going to be awesome against Kevin Cade. The Academy implodes. It's going to be rough.
I get my dog collar match.
You finally get to do your dog collar match.
I've been wanting to do one for years.
And so, now you get one. And now you get two, and it's against Kevin Cade.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you wish for something, and then you get it, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of Christmas. I just kind of want it to be over.
So will Dalton survive? One way to find out. Come hang out with us Saturday.
Probably won't. Spoiler alert.
CCW Homecoming. And then we'll be back next week with two episodes. Potentially, don't quote us on that, but we're going to try. One extra Wrestling with Articulation, and then our normal episode that we will record Thursday night. And hopefully you'll hang out. So until then, we appreciate you all very much. Thank you for hanging out with us in this very long episode. Hopefully I don't have to trim anything down. Otherwise, fuck. So we're going to get out of here. Until next week, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and as always, watch more wrestling.